Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, I want to be swift this morning, everyone, but I trust very appropriate and pointed. And I want everyone to stand first of all. Let's all stand together and let's agree in a prayer that we're open for our minds to be impacted by the Spirit of God and for our hearts to be moved. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, then, we come before you in Jesus' name and we ask that you minister to us from the word that you've given us, that the truth of that word would penetrate into our hearts and our minds, and that as we yield to your will for our lives, we would leave this place different, impacted, that Father God, you would have reign in and through us, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven through our lives. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, our Lord, our Savior, who we worship this day. Praise be to God. Amen. 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 Well, come with me then. Let's start, and I'm going to go into this from... I'm going to look first of all at a portion of Scripture that we know. Come with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and I'm going to read from verse 3. Matthew 13, verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, because where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's read on. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now watch this, church. Here's what they call, in technical terms, a paradigm shift. Now we're going to read something that's going to shift what we think. And it'll expose the limits of our human understanding. Watch this. Watch this. Because this isn't what we're told Jesus preached. Watch what he says. Because, verse 11, and he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." It's not been given. It's not been given. It's not been given to them. It's not been given to them. It's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Oh, come on! It's not fair, Jesus! I thought Christianity was about being nice. I thought Christianity was about being nice and being fair. No! That's not the gospel. Of course it's not. The religion of Christianity has turned it into being nice and fair. Folks, I'm not necessarily nice. Not necessarily. I think I'm, my mum thinks I'm very nice. I'm not necessarily nice. You're not called to be nice. You're not called to be a nice person. It may manifest that you are a nice person. That's not your calling. Your calling is to the Word of God. And what does it say? And sometimes people will say, oh, well, if you follow that, you're a bit too strong. You may appear not to be nice. Hey, grow up. Get over it. People, you shouldn't want to live a life where you want everyone to think you're a nice person. Because if you live like that, you will never follow this man who they crucified. And the religion of Christianity wants to be nice. Oh, just look at, oh, well, yeah. Oh, Jesus said that. But what we're doing is we're going to take a few backward steps because we don't want to offend you. We really don't want to offend anyone. So what we'll do is we'll just compromise on every little aspect. Those people are not following Jesus. And let me make it nice and clear. They are destined for a place, it's a four-letter word, hell. That's what Jesus teaches. It's not nice. It's not fair. And we need to get that out of our mind. It's wrong thinking. And what we should get into our mind is this thinking, because this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And he says this, he says, listen, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. Oh, but that doesn't seem fair. That's right, it's not. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. It doesn't seem fair. That's right, it's not. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what he's saying. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. They don't see, they don't hear, and they don't understand. But they got plenty of religion. Plenty of religion. They look religious. They talk religious. They just, everything about them is religious. I have to wear this collar sometimes, otherwise people would never believe I was a minister. One of the biggest compliments I could have. What? You're a minister? That's right. I'm not like those dead religious folk who don't have life. And they also don't have any power. We have the power of God manifesting in us and through us. That's why we're different. And we're following the Word of God. And sometimes and very often, it is different to what we've been led to believe through the religion of Christianity. He says, therefore I speak them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Dull hearts. Have you seen people with dull hearts? You see people outside. You see people outside, lost people. We should have compassion on lost people. But I tell you, we should have love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. It's a love for people. But don't let it ooze out. And don't throw your pearls to swine. There's a time for it, and there's a time not for it. Verse 15, the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what's the word that they hear? The word of the kingdom. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. They've got joy. Yet, he has no root in himself and endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because of the word. Why? Because of what it says. Oh, you mean homosexuality is a sin and is wrong. We don't believe in it as Christians. If you meet a Christian who does, they're lost. It's not a place for debate. No debate. It's not a debate. People used to want to have debates. I don't have debates. It's wrong. It's sinful. That's what the word says. Is it clear, folks? Yes. It's clear, simple. I mean, this is ABC stuff. Oh, but people get nervous when you say things like that because of the society in which we live. But God loves all people. God wants that people would come to know Jesus, know the truth. And in the same way, if there's a man who's stealing all the time, if he keeps on stealing, and if he goes into the shops and he's stealing all of the time, and you say, well, listen, it's wrong for you. You shouldn't be stealing all the time. It's not right. Why are you stealing all the time? Well, I just like it. I just enjoy it. Because I can't afford to buy those things. I just like stealing them instead. That way I don't have to find any money or work hard to pay for it. It's easier to steal it. Well, it's wrong. That's what the word says. It's wrong. And people should change. Jesus makes a demand on us. And if persecution comes for the word's sake, okay. That's the way they treated Jesus. That's the way they've treated the New Testament church throughout the ages. We live in a world of compromise and compromised people. We live in a religious word, a world where the times are the times of the apostate church in the main. The church is in an apostate condition. It's not a church. It may look like a church. They may talk about churchy things. It's not a church unless it's following Jesus according to the scriptures. It's not my message, folks. Don't think that this is my... It's not my opinion. I'm just preaching the word. You do understand. This isn't my opinion. This is what the Bible says. If it was my opinion, I'd be altering it. I did that before. This is what the word says. I have to be faithful. You've got to look. The truth of the matter is, it breaks down to this sometimes, you know. You're going to be a coward, or you're going to be, you know, standing for what the Bible says. Nice and plain. And there's power in it. It's good news because there's power in it. And I tell you, when you rescue people, you'll only rescue them through the truth and the strong truth. And in their hearts, they may not like it. They may think they won't like it. In the end, they may turn and say, thank you so much for being faithful. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being faithful to what the Word of God says. Because I tell you this, there's power in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Romans 1:16. Not opinions. Verse 22. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world. I want to go here. I want to do this. I've got this ambition. I've got a bucket list. I want to have a great paying job. I want to go and pursue this. I want money. I want this. This is what I'm after. I'm pursuing those things. The deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. We've got to understand this, you see. Who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What do we learn from this? We learn from this several things. This morning, I just briefly this morning, we're flying through it. I want to just say this, that what I want us to get from this is that there is a commitment in following Jesus that perhaps hasn't often been underlined. And people just go along with the flow. How many people ever wear a wristwatch here? Put your hand up if you ever wear a wristwatch. Well, quite a few people sometimes wear wristwatches. Well, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something here. And I don't want you to, don't look at your watch now. No. Don't be looking at your watch now. Here's a little test, okay? Does your watch have regular numerals or Roman numerals on it? That's question one. Question two. No, don't speak it out loud. It's just for you, because we're all different. Everyone's got different watches. Question two. How many Roman numerals or regular numerals does it have? Question three, does your watch have those types of numerals at all? Or is it a combination? And then let me ask you this. Can you recall what's at the 12 slot? Can you recall what's at the 3 slot? What's at the 6th slot? What's at the 9th slot? No looking down, no peeping. Okay. Now I want you to have a real good, careful look at your watch. Go and have a look. The truth is, you see, my friends, and what I'm trying to illustrate here is this, that, well, let's find out first of all. How many people got at least one of those questions wrong? Put your hand up. Oh, a lot of people got questions wrong. And some who got questions wrong, they didn't put their hands up, did they? People are funny, you know. People are funny. Well, let me tell you this. You see, they say that we look at a wristwatch. They've done tests on it, and it seems like a lot to me. I didn't believe it. But they say that one study said it was up to 300. When someone's wearing a wristwatch, they look at it about 300 times a day. I think that's too much. And the man who said this, he said, well, it's about 300 times a day, but at least it's 100 times a day. So the truth of the matter is that even if it's 100 times or whatever it is, hey, in the last month, you've looked at that watch 1,000 times. And you still couldn't remember what was on the watch. Isn't that something? What does that say to us? Well, it says this. It says this very clearly, that we have eyes to see and see not. We have eyes to see, but we see not. It doesn't matter so much in terms of the watch, but how many know that it really, really, really does matter when it comes to the teachings of Jesus Christ? It really matters. And so when we look at the teachings of Jesus Christ, we've got to be looking at those teachings. We need to be studying those teachings, as the Word tells us. We need to be really making sure that we understand what those teachings say. And this is why I'm going to ask this question now. And this, my friends, is a very important question. What does it mean to follow, to be a follower of Jesus Christ? You think you know the answer? Of course you do. I can see that confident look. Well, let me delve into this a little bit. The antonym, which is the opposite of something. So the opposite of believe sometimes will give us an understanding of what it is to believe. You build up an understanding through words that are the opposite. Gives you a fuller picture. So the antonym of believe is to disregard. It's to, watch this, misunderstand. Remember, we've just read about Jesus saying that they knew about the kingdom. They understood it. Another antonym for believe is to neglect, not get, or pass over. So my friends, as believers in Jesus Christ, what we can glean from this is that to be a believer, we must have regard. We must have understanding. We must pay attention to, and we must be involved in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is that if you go throughout the churches that bear his name, the Christian churches, what you'll find if you ask the question, what was the message of Jesus? You find people saying his message and his preaching were that you must be born again. And that's not the message of Jesus Christ. That's not what he preached. He preached the message of kingdom over and over and over again. I'm so thankful I was born again, my friends. I was born again at 15 years old. I'm so thankful. I remember that day, so special it was for me. And it remains very special. I celebrate and rejoice when someone is born again, just as they do in the kingdom of heaven, just as they do up there in heaven. But the message that Jesus preached was kingdom. Now let me ask you this. How come those who claim to follow Jesus don't even understand that basic truth? How can they follow him if they don't know what he preached? How can you pretend to follow someone or be so disillusioned that you're following someone when you don't really understand the basics of what they preached? So the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the main, is filled with lost people. People who are lost because they haven't even understood the basic teaching that he gave us, which was repeatedly about kingdom, about bringing in his kingdom on earth, about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And even when he taught Nicodemus about the born again experience, it was in relation to the kingdom. In John 3, it says that unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Even that is in the context of the kingdom of God. Now, why is this so important to me? It's so important to me, my friends, for the same reason it should be so important to you. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. This is Bible Christianity. And the power of the gospel is found within this. And Jesus says this. Jesus said to them that if you want to follow me, anyone who desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Interesting, you know the word cross in the Greek there? The word is storos. And the storos was the cross piece. It's the piece that is the horizontal portion of the cross. It's not the whole thing, it's the horizontal portion. And the horizontal portion, why did he say you have to pick up your cross daily? Well, watch this. He's talking about the horizontal piece. And the horizontal piece was the piece that the criminal would have to put behind their shoulders, and the arms would go over, and then they would walk with that to the place of the crucifixion. And what Jesus is saying to us is this. Listen, you should be so shaped for life in the kingdom that as you walk through this world, you look like someone who is wearing a cross. Oh. Who got that then? You look like someone who is different. You will look like someone who's on a mission. You look like someone who's very different to everyone else. And you're so different, they're all looking at you as they would do. Wow, that guy's something different going on there. There's someone on a mission. There's someone with something that's different about them. Jesus also said something which is quite revealing and telling with regards to this. He says in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's not as if it's a heavy burden he's got. It's a responsibility. But it's a responsibility. Jesus isn't heavy with us. No, but he's saying to us, look, you're now responsible. Because the greatest truth ever given to mankind has been deposited in you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, folks, this is something that you have had ears to hear, you have had eyes to see, and God has consequently deposited his truth in you. And another part of that is that we have been injected with the very righteousness of God. He imputes his righteousness into us. So now we have been imputed with his righteousness. We've got right standing before him. We're in the right position before him. But now we're walking differently. We're walking with people who've been commissioned by God to be ambassadors. People who've been commissioned to be his representatives. And if I can succinctly put it like this, people who have been commissioned to colonize planet Earth. We know that because Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Think of that. He wants his will, and he teaches us to pray that his will be done on earth just the same as it is in heaven. You talk to most religious people, they have no concept of that. They just think, well, I can't wait to get to heaven to escape all this mess. And Jesus says, no, 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 no. Oh, no, I've empowered you. I have put my deposit, my anointing is in you. 1 John 2 teaches us we have received an anointing. That anointing is in us. And now that anointing causes us to have a tremendous power potential for life on earth. We are the ones who are meant to change planet earth. Let me tell you, my dear friends, your prayers are very powerful. Your prayers are powerful. The enemy wants to con you to say, oh, your prayers aren't so powerful. Why bother? Your prayers aren't so powerful. You've messed up again this week. Why do you think your prayers are any good? My friends, it's not about you and your behavior. It's about the wonderful Savior, Jesus, and all that he did. When we make Jesus the focal point of our lives, when we understand that it was his sacrifice there that took all of our sin, all of our badness, and at the same time imputed all of his goodness into us. Okay, we may mess up. We all do. More difficult to believe with some than others. But we all mess up. The beauty is this. He doesn't look at us to qualify ourselves. Jesus qualified us. And now what he wants us to do is just believe that and live like we believe it. Live burden-free. Live with joy in Jesus. Live with that understanding that we can do all things now because of what he's done. Live with that sense of mountain moving faith. The power potential of God is released through you and your prayers. And God is saying to us, listen now, I've got plans for your life. Oh, the enemy is trying to restrict you. The enemy is trying to stop you. The enemy is trying to get you to feel like you're insignificant. You're no good. You're just one of many. No, my friends, no. Every hair on your head is numbered. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You are, God loves you so much. You're so precious. You're so precious to him. He loves you so much. Listen, when you pray, well, you think he doesn't pay attention? Let me tell you, I'm a father. My son, even when he messes up, as he has done quite a few times this week, when he comes to me and says something, oh, I'm all ears. I just want to listen. He comes to me and says, Daddy, I'm sorry. Do you think I'm holding a grudge? Would you think I'd hold a grudge? I don't hold a grudge. God's not holding a grudge against you, folks. I'm sensing at the end of this sermon here, the end of this, that there's people here this morning, you're really not, you don't have confidence about your position in God. God's saying, listen, have confidence. Believe the truth of the gospel. Believe that Jesus has qualified you. You couldn't qualify yourself with your behavior. Jesus has done it for you. And it's a full qualification. And God sees you now as the very righteousness of God, the Bible says. You're qualified and you're loved. And now it's a case of saying, right, I'm now going to live this victory life. I'm going to be all that God has called me to be. I'm going to speak to mountains and see what God's going to do. He's got a plan for you, and it's a plan for victory. Let's just stand. The truth is this, in Jesus, the beautiful truth is this. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It's just a question of this. Will you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you say, I want all of the forgiveness that you have on offer, Lord? And I want you to start my life afresh. I want all of that forgiveness, and I want to live this Christian life. Let me ask everyone here, please now, let's just close our eyes. Close our eyes in prayer. And the first thing I want to do is say this. If there's anyone you're not sure if you've made a commitment to the Lord Jesus, or you want to recommit your life, or you want to, if that's you, you put your hand up now and say, yes, I want to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, put your hand up right now. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you, Father God. And now, for us who've been commissioned to understand what the gospel is, to really understand what the Bible is saying, to understand about the kingdom, to understand that God has called us and commissioned us to be ambassadors within his kingdom, to take really our role and our responsibility up and be what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do and live in this great Christian victory. If God has spoken to you this morning, listen, respond to him now. Respond in your heart. Respond. Perhaps you want to put your hand up and say, Lord, I'm hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to me this morning. Yes, respond to him now and lift up your hand and say, yes, I've heard the Holy Spirit speak to me this morning. I want this morning to be the rest, the beginning of the rest of my life. I want a change to take place this morning in my life. If that's you, put your hand up and respond to him now. Thank you, Father God. And so, Father God, we come to the end of this service. We ask this, that you continue to minister to us and that we don't allow our thinking, our misunderstanding of your words to rob us of the reality of your promise. Father, we want to be all that you've called us to be and do all that you've called us to do. And we commit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' wonderful name, have your way with us. Amen. If anyone wants prayer for anything, you can.